Loving Lord, you remind us over and over in your word that you are always with us. You tell us not to fear, and you draw us close into your presence. You are the only place we find refuge in the storms that surround us right now, Lord. You're the only way we can find true peace and strength. And so we ask you for your words of truth and power to strengthen us in our inner beings as we lift our hearts to you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you know the road that we take and that you have a plan for us to prosper. We look to you today, our Lord and Saviour. It is your face that we seek. Amen. This morning we heard the story of Jesus calming a storm, and I'm fairly sure it will be a very familiar one to many here. Well, it's only 7 verses long, but it's so gripping and dramatic. It really does pack a punch. Sometimes the most important lessons can be explained in very few words. We Brits definitely do have a thing about the weather, don't we? We are frankly obsessed with it. If we're ever stuck about something to say, we know we can always draw on the weather. We can always talk about it, and we usually do. How often do we deflect awkward situations or silences by talking about the weather? One of my personal favourite accounts on social media is called Very British Problems. It writes about and exaggerates certain aspects of British culture and, of course, pokes fun at it. So you can guess the subject of weather actually comes up rather often. Sometime last year, there was some sort of quasi-significant storm here, and a post came up called Things to Do in a Storm. So if we can show that now. Please see how many you can identify with. So, watch the storm through the window. Watch storm on telly. Listen to storm. Tell people to listen to storm. Read about storm. Talk about storm. Post online about storm. Sleep through storm, which is what Jesus did. Listen to news about storms on the radio. Phone somebody about storm, cancel plans. Thank you. I think that's pretty good. We're so very fortunate in the UK that we don't often experience very destructive storms, but we're definitely seeing many more floods right across our country. It's all too obvious, I think, that climate change is very, very real, and that is genuinely worrying. It seems to be a daily current somewhere in our world for storms of nature to cause huge damage. Not only at sea, but dormant volcanoes are erupting, as we heard last week. The dreadful flooding last August in Germany and Belgium, which caused a massive loss of life. Forest fires out of control across Greece and Turkey. The list just goes on and on. Such catastrophes of nature are not necessarily something we can do about in the immediate term. And I'm fairly sure that I would have been terrified if I had been in that boat with Jesus and his disciples. This morning, I'd like to unpack that a little, if I may. The first thing I want to talk about is Jesus in that actual physical storm in Galilee and his literal command over nature. So the disciples are in that boat with Jesus, and there are also other boats around. It wasn't just the one boat. Mark points this out in verse 36, meaning that there are other witnesses to this account. Then the trouble hits. Jesus is asleep. The disciples panic and decide to wake Jesus. I think it's important to remember that some of those disciples were very experienced fishermen, and they knew Lake Galilee better than most. And I think it's important to remember that the Sea of Galilee is vast, It's just not like a little lake where you paddle around. It is a huge sea and it can get very violent. And these sailors would certainly have been the ones best placed to cope in a storm. And when they panicked, it was justified. I think we therefore have to feel just a tad sorry for them in this scenario. Jesus wakes and commands the storm to stop in three words: quiet, be still. And then he tells off his disciples quite sharply. Jesus asks them, why are you afraid? And then asks them, where is your faith? Those disciples, even though the storm had been silenced, were still terrified, probably not just from the aftershock, but terrified of who they were on the boat with. Even though they'd seen Jesus perform many, many miracles, this was just something else entirely. And they asked themselves, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. What those disciples and others have just seen is called a miracle of nature. The natural order of the world, the storm, has been instructed to stop, and it does so instantly. Jesus has literally got command over nature. We don't see miracles like this very often, and nor should we expect to. It wouldn't make any sense if miracles of this scale happened every day. Sometimes we pray for a miracle to happen and yet we don't see it. And that is very hard. Around the world, we know that countless numbers anywhere at any time will be praying for Jesus to quell their storms, their floods, their forest fires. Yet for many, it seems that their prayers don't appear to be heard. For those going through it, it may seem as if God isn't listening to them. We do need to understand that God is absolutely able to still any storm. But if he did do that, if he did still every storm, or even most of them, the balance of nature would be thrown wildly out of kilter, and that would have even more devastating consequences. Yes, these storms will bring tragedy to some that we will never know. They will bring relief from drought, put out raging bushfires, and bring life back into a desert place. God must sometimes say no to prayers for the sake of the majority whom we will never know. This doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for a miracle for the natural world. We have a broken world and we broke it. We broke it. It needs our prayers. Our prayers seem completely reasonable to us, but God does know better, and we have to put our trust in him on that. By saying no to us, he is protecting others whose need is greater. We're going to sing now, and it starts with these beautiful words. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. Let us now stand, if we can, to sing Reckless Love. Or causation, and it can be a very lonely place to be. We usually don't understand why these things are happening to us. And I'm sure as I'm saying this that you're all thinking about those situations and circumstances right now, as well as how you felt or feel. How do we respond to those storms in our lives? Do we really believe that Jesus can calm them? Or do we think he sleeps through them? It's all too easy to be consumed by the storms that we face. It is easy to feel like we're drowning. And during such storms, we may cry out to Jesus and keep crying out to him. But other times, we try to brazen it out and face it alone, reverting to old habits when we think we can fix things all by ourselves. Sometimes we think we are alone. We may not even understand why we have to go through these storms either. Nevertheless, we can trust that Jesus is with us, beside us, through them all. Sometimes Jesus has a purpose in that wait, a purpose that may be the making of the strength of our faith, the proof to ourselves that we really can trust in God despite the storm. In really difficult times when I don't know what to do and I can't find the words to pray, I sometimes turn to worship songs that will speak for me and to me. You will know what I mean when I say that problems never seem to come at once. They seem to come in waves, each wave adding to the depth of fear or loss. People always say that things come in threes, don't they? Well, I've experienced such bad storms, and at times I couldn't process the sheer amount of grief, anger, sadness, and horror that I was feeling. I didn't know what to say to God. I didn't know where to turn to in scripture that would truly soothe my wounds. But there is one particular song that I listened to called Praise You in the Storm, which was written by Casting Crowns. And the chorus says this: "And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are no matter. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm." We have a choice to trust in God. It is our decision what we do. And choosing to trust in God when our prayers aren't obviously answered is very tough. But that is what having faith is. It is trusting in the goodness of God when we don't get what we're asking for. That's what spiritual maturity looks like, my friend. We're going to listen to that song now, so if you wouldn't mind staying seated, take the moment just to enjoy the words, and if you want to use it as a prayer or contemplation, that would be good too. Thank you. Sorry, I can cry. It makes me cry every time. And that's okay. That is okay. This last 18 months for many of us has felt like a really horrendous experience of storms. Storms after storms. Probably the most traumatic time of any of our lives. Fear of COVID, of course. Not being able to see our loved ones, uncertainty in jobs, not being able to be together here with our own church family. Well, the list is endless. We've all experienced our own storms in many different ways in just this past time alone. I don't know anyone who has found life easy recently. And we're all joined in that. But remember, we have a God who knows himself about fear and suffering. He knows what that is. Jesus faced the cross, fully human And he went through it for us. Remember Jesus' words, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He gets it. Let Jesus draw near, even if you can't feel him right now. His presence is enough. Have faith that it is enough. God never promised us that life would be easy, but he does promise this. He is bigger than any storm we face in this world. And he is always working for our good, even in the places where we can't see it happening, even in the circumstances that we really don't understand. He is with us, right in the middle of all that we walk through. Our storms, our personal storms, might look different in this life, but they all have the opportunity to change us forever. And God is the only one who has the power to take what is tragic and devastating and turning it around for good. It may not happen as quickly as we would like. It may feel like the most enormous struggle. We might find ourselves longing for a different way. But blessing will come from it. For that is the way that God works. The good will shine through. And I ask you now, stay strong in the Lord our God. We praise you, God, and ask that you lead us forward. You walk beside us, and you make our footsteps firm. You walk behind us to protect us. You are our great protector and defense. We never have to fear that we are alone. And thank you for your powerful presence surrounding us all. We renew our focus on you this day. Amen.